Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, and airing this radio broadcast over the last 15 years. Bill Jack in studio with me right now from Worldview Academy. And as is our custom, we are going to do a year-in-review program over the year 2017, asking the crucial questions. What did God do with the nations in 2017? Well, what did God do? Aren't we more concerned with what chance occurrences happened? Aren't we a little more interested in what man did than we are in what God did? No, sir. No, sir. We want to know what God was doing with the nations in 2017. God is extremely active. God's very involved. And, of course, it's a lie from the deists, the Unitarians, the agnostics, and the atheists to insist upon the fact that God is distant and that God is relatively uninvolved in the nations, in our personal lives. But no, his hands are very much involved. His fingerprints are everywhere. So what did God do with the nations in 2017? And how did the nations kiss the sun, lest he be angry and they perish from the way? That would be another important question to ask, especially as we are concerned with America, the largest nation in the world, at least the largest economy in the world, almost second to China. China is edging America out now, but we want to ask, how are these nations kissing the sun, lest he be angry and they perish from the way? How are they bowing the knee to Jesus Christ? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. They are counted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he, that is God, takes up the coastlands like fine dust. That means that God is sovereign over these nations, and to think that man is so important, man is so powerful, that only man's works are worthy of consideration. I know that's the worldview taught by Fox News and CNN, friends, but not by the Generations ministry. Now, this last year, let me sum it up this way, Bill. I think best summed up as the year that God gave America an opportunity to repent of their sins. 2017 was a window of opportunity for the nation to repent, and didn't happen, but it was a window of opportunity, and indeed, God is holding back on his judgment, but I will say that it was the year of God's judgment on America. God brought judgment to America in 2017. 2017 brought the worst hurricanes and the worst fires in American history. Now, we typically refer to these as natural disasters. Sometimes insurance agencies refer to them as acts of God, which is actually right.
More like supernatural disasters.
An act of God. They still use that in insurance policies?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's precisely what it is, my friends. These are acts of God. They're not acts of chance occurrences in a completely random universe, which is the way they're presented by the Weather Channel and by CNN. I understand that. But no. 2017 brought the worst hurricanes and the worst fires in American history, to the tune of $400 billion in reparations, and that would account for about 5% of the GNI. You say, well, that's not very much. Friends, that's 1/20th of the GNI, and that pretty much eats up GNI growth. That is economic growth for 2017, okay? That eats it up. $400 billion of an act of God, damage upon American houses, homes in California, in Texas, elsewhere across the country, friends, brought the worst possible disasters in America, at least to this point in American history. And I think some of us need to switch this up and pay attention to this. In fact, it was the year of God's judgment on the state of California as well. California had two terrible fire seasons in October and December, and brought in, again, another $180 billion in reparation damage to the state of California. It's the worst in California's history, to the point that the governor of California, Jerry Brown, admitted that it was God's wrath upon the nation, and he was upset with President Trump for not fearing God and fearing the judgment of God enough. Of course,
it was the wrong God. I think that perhaps Jerry Brown is speaking tongue-in-cheek, but he's certainly not referring to the God of the Bible.
No, he's not referring to the God of the Bible, but it was the year that California introduced 10 textbooks into public schools that turned sodomites, that is, men from Sodom doing what men from Sodom like to do, and turning pedophiliacs and homosexuals into heroes. And that was the point of the 10 textbooks that were issued for the first time. I believe that Jerry Brown signed the bill that encouraged homosexual indoctrination in California public schools for 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. And that came into fruition this year for the first time. 10 textbooks introduced into California public schools that presented pedophiliacs and homosexuals as heroes for 6-year-old kids, 8-year-old kids, 10-year-old kids, and 12-year-old kids. This was the year that happened. It also happened to be the year that God brought the most severe possible judgment on California, at least to this point in California's history, destroying some several hundred thousand acres, would have been closer to 400,000 acres of and tens of thousands of homes, and creating some $180 billion worth in damage. It was the year that California charter schools invited transgender kids in and persecuted kids who used the wrong pronouns for little boys who were trying to turn themselves into little girls, or little girls that were trying to turn themselves into little boys. And this would have been the first year that American public institutions were forcing sins of commission upon 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 year old kids in American public schools. They'd been forcing kids into sins of omission since the 1960s, where they forbade children from worshiping and fearing and giving thanks and gratitude to the true and living God in the history and science classes. So that had been going on for 45 years. But now American public schools were enforcing, for the first time, as far as I know, in American history, sins of commission, at least in a wholesale manner, across schools in the state of California and other states across the union. It was the year that American children were persecuted by schools for not worshiping at the temples of transgenderism, and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's would have had to exempt themselves from it. But of course, American public school parents were sending their kids off to these public schools, and the 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 year olds probably were not going to take a stand as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, because their parents weren't taking a stand either. We're going to talk a little bit more about the year in review for 2017 next on the Generations broadcast.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
Back on the Generations broadcast, taking a look at 2017 year in review on this edition. Friends, it was the year of God's judgment on America. It was the year of God's judgment on California. It was the year of God's judgment for Hugh Hefner and Charles Manson, both of which resided in the state of California, one of which resided in a state prison, the other of which resided in his Playboy mansion. Hugh Hefner, the father of pornography in the United States, went to meet his maker in the year 2017. Hugh Hefner, known for his violation of the Seventh Commandment. Charles Manson, known for his violation of the Sixth Commandment. He was the famous serial killer from the 1960s.
It's amazing that these two men both passed this past year, and they were revered and hated at the same time. For example, Manson had followers that ended up committing murder at his bequest. He said, "I didn't do anything," that his followers did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how God has redeemed. You know, this is the year of God's judgment, but God redeems even in the midst of his judgment, because there are some followers of Charles Manson who have become believers.
That's right, like Tex Watson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And we did a program on that. God brings his redemption in the midst of judgment. And there are so many instances of that in American history. We want to draw from that as well. It was the year of homosexuality in pop culture, and Christian families enthusiastically received it as long as it was from Disney.
Yeah.
Homosexuality played a major part in the most popular film of the year. It was Beauty and the Beast. They pulled in $1.2 billion in the box office. It was a top-rated box office favorite in 2017, rated PG, but introduced a homosexual scene for the benefit of families and children. 4 years ago, we warned about Frozen and Disney, but this year, Disney proved its true colors with its top-billing film of the year, Beauty and the Beast. Director Bill Corden called the scene, the homosexual scene, subtle and delicious. And of course, it was the PG rating that attracted the millions upon millions of families in the United States and around the world to it. The character LeFou was attracted to the beast in sort of a trans species thing that might have been homosexuality or might have been more of a trans species form of fornication. It was hard to understand how twisted and perverse this scene was. But Christians, for the most part, missed it, sadly. The film collected $1.2 billion. In the same year, that is this year, 2017, Disney produced or distributed children's television programs like Andy Mack, The Real O'Neills, and Star vs. Forces of Evil that featured homosexual relationships and homosexual activities for 10, 11, 12, and 13-year-old children to watch. It was the year that Disney came out of the closet and represented its true agenda. An agenda that, of course, had been seen in The Little Mermaid, Mulan, and other films earlier on in the 1980s and 1990s. But now Disney is entirely out of the closet, and sadly, Christians are still head over heels in love with Disney. How do the most indescribable evils become the most heartwarming, well-beloved narratives in the modern world, even to Christians? I'll tell you how it happens. By the witchcraft of modern filmmaking, beautiful music, sick romanticism, and hearts that at root hate God.
And the educational system has enabled all of this to happen, because they are not teaching the fear of the Lord. They're teaching the fear of man. And if you speak out against man's agenda, then you are ostracized, you are vilified, you are punished. Mm.
This was the year that pop culture took a hard left and gave God the most obscene gesture it possibly could with movies like Beauty and the Beast, which was the number one box office favorite of the year. The second most popular box office favorite of the year was Wonder Woman, raking in $822 million and thereby making it the year of lesbianism and feminism. And just in case anybody was wondering what goes on Wonder Woman's Island of Themyscira, Wonder Woman told Steve in the movie, men are just not necessary for sexual pleasure. Friends, it was the year of lesbianism, that is for Wonder Woman, and the year of homosexuality, or possibly trans species sexuality, in the top box office favorite of the year, Beauty and the Beast. Well, it was also the year that the sexual orgy ended at Fox News, Hollywood, and Nashville, as well as Washington, D.C., because everybody started yelling foul in the midst of the gigantic orgy. Suddenly, a few women developed a conscience. Nobody's really safe in a revolution, Bill. Robespierre was not safe in the French Revolution. You know, he lost
his head.
His head. That's
off
right.
With his
head. The same thing is happening at Fox News and Hollywood and Washington and all the rest of the orgy. The ironies just do not stop. You remember in 1967, it was Dustin Hoffman that engaged the sexual revolution big time in the movie The Graduate. It was Dustin Hoffman who broke moral boundaries as he presented the sin of adultery in a positive light. In 1967, the story featured a young man committing adultery with an older woman, and it turned out this year, the mills of God grind slowly but very fine. From 1967 to 2017. We're talking 50 years later. Dustin Hoffman is finally reaping what he sowed.
Yeah.
It took 50 years for Dustin Hoffman to break the moral boundaries and then suffer the consequences of it. In 2017, 50 years after his 1967 starring in The Graduate, Dustin Hoffman has been called on the carpet for trying to take advantage of a bunch of younger women. He has had alleged sexual assault accusations placed on him in the year 2017, too many for me to count.
So what we have is a kind of a reversal. And what goes around comes around, if you will.
Ideas have consequences.
Ideas have consequences.
Men live out their ideas. They're not just on the screen, but also in real life. We've seen this happen again and again and again. The tarnish came off of Hollywood big time in 2017, Bill. Think of Bill Cosby. Think about Sylvester Stallone. Think about Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, Bill O'Reilly, Charlie Rose from PBS, Garrison Keillor dealing with his alleged accusations, Kevin Spacey and his House of Cards came down. The tarnish came off of Hollywood last year, my friends. We learned the system was corrupt to the core, and Christians were wondering why we ever gave it any credence to begin with.
Yeah, and why should we expect anything else from Hollywood? They have promoted violence. They have promoted the idea that men are going to dominate women and use women. They have promoted every form of gun violence possible. And yet they turn around and they say, we're on the side of women. We're against gun violence. We are on the side of children. And yet they exploit children. Why should we expect anything less? They are like the attorney in the small town who was charged to be not only the prosecuting attorney, but also the defense attorney. And now, he had to speak out of both sides of his mouth.
Disney has been encouraging pedophilia through the comedy The Real O'Neills over the last 2 years. So Disney encourages pedophilia. Disney encourages homosexuality. Disney encourages the taking advantage of younger women. We've given many, many instances in which Hollywood presents the sexuality of underaged girls more often than they present the sexuality of more aged women. Friends, the hypocrisy, the sheer evil of Hollywood is everywhere around us. Now the tarnish is coming off and the orgy is ending finally. Oh, how the mighty have fallen, including the Kevin Spaceys, the Harvey Weinsteins, the Matt Lauers, the Bill O'Reillys. They all came down in 2017. Judgment begins in the household of God, but how shall they stand who have not received the truth? Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1,000 proverbs come to mind as we talk about the judgment of God that has come to bear. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I also think, be sure your sins will find you out. Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, Bill Cosby, be sure your sins will find you out. Dustin Hoffman. Now, the other news sources won't share these verses. They just don't. They're not going to bring out the wisdom of God. They're not going to say the mills of God grind slowly but very fine. They're not going to remind us that these eternal truths will be the truths upon which men will bang their heads until they are a bloody mash for decade upon decade upon decade, generation upon generation upon generation. They're not going to come back to the wisdom of God in the book of Proverbs.
It's hashtag me too rather than hashtag the Bible says.
That's for sure.
Yep.
That's for sure, my friends. That's why we encourage you to grab the Proverbs Bible study guides and give your children a full dose of the wisdom of God. The book of Proverbs, God's curriculum for a young man or a young woman. Be sure your children are grounded firmly in the wisdom of God contained in the book of Proverbs. That's why our Bible study guides from the Generations Radio broadcast. Well, it was also the year of Trump. And the year of Trump means that Trump brought to America, in the providence of God, a tremendous window of opportunity for repentance amongst the rank and file. I believe God is giving us something of a respite, an opportunity, so to speak. There's a potential for a Josiah Reformation here. God gave Judah a chance to repent again and again and again with Hezekiah, Josiah, even Manasseh, who was a wicked man but eventually repented, came back. Again, God opens up this window of opportunity towards the end of a nation's history.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds.
That's right. He sends a leader. Sometimes a leader that just opens up an opportunity for repentance among the rank and file. But of course, Judah didn't repent. The people didn't repent. They hardened their hearts again and again and again and again. But Trump has done some good things. In 2017, he withheld international abortion funding. I know there's the never Trumpers out there, but friends, from time to time, if you're a Jonah, you need to acknowledge if the king of Nineveh has done a good thing. If the king of Nineveh has ceased from the international abortion funding for a year or two or 3 years, give him a little credit for it. And the individual mandate for Obamacare was pulled out, and that gave just a breath of freedom to a few Americans who still wanted something of some freedom. They didn't want to have to pay a fine for not buying insurance for themselves. There needs to be something, some measure of freedom for Americans in the area of their healthcare decisions. And Trump did what he could. Of course, the Republican Congress did everything they could to maintain the trend towards socialism in our generation. They have, of course, for the last, 140 years, Republicans have been doing this. So no surprise. But Trump did his best to reverse Obamacare. Didn't happen, but pulled the individual mandate, for which I'm thankful. And there's a few tax cuts for corporations and some middle-class families that will no doubt be helpful to some. It was also the clipping of the wings of ISIS this year. They had some 45,000 warriors a couple of years ago as Barack Obama attempted a little resistance to the Islamic flood. But now the 45,000 warriors are down to just a couple thousand. And I think they've got 2% of Iraq now. So just a small sliver of land controlled by ISIS, praise be to God, that was one of the most evil curses that had come down over the Middle East and had resulted in the tortures, the crucifixions, the brutal murders of thousands upon thousands of Christians. So they got their upcomings in this year. Also, friends, it was the year that we made North Korea mad. But he was already mad.
He was already mad.
So I'm not sure. I guess we made the madder hatter madder than he was.
You made him angry. Yeah. He was already crazy.
That's right. Yeah. And China also faked like they were on North Korea's side. Chinese ships have been caught selling oil to North Korea 30 times since they said they wouldn't do that anymore back in October, by the way. For the first time since the Cold War, Americans in Guam and Hawaii began to consider the possibility of a nuclear event on their soil. So that was significant. Hopefully the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge will once again be rooted in states like Hawaii, which has been one of the most godless, one of the states that has been the most pro-abortion and pro-homosexual states in America since the 1960s. Friends, Hawaii may be a state in which the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge may return as long as they are threatened by nuclear armaments. It was also the year of setbacks and more embarrassment for evangelicals. Judge Roy Moore failed to win the Alabama Senate seat this year. The sheer quantity of accusations from young women who felt they had been taken advantage of by Roy Moore 38 years ago seemed to have some impact upon his electability, to say the least. Half of evangelical millennials also embraced homosexual marriage this last year, indicating that evangelicalism has been compromised big time. A few fairly minor scandals attended the Ravi Zacharias ministries. Eddie Long, a megachurch pastor, died accused of multiple molestations by young men. Also, Tony Alamo, another megachurch pastor, died accused of molestations, and he was serving 175 years for his crimes. It was the year that Paul Washer had a heart attack and R.C. Sproul Sr. went to be with the Lord, as well as Nabil Qureshi.
Yep. And, you know, it's interesting because here's a man who was raised Muslim and he converted to Christianity, began to proclaim truth and grace. And as a result, he received a lot of angry retribution. He received a lot of vile hatred from those he was trying to serve. And that's what we should expect as Christians. We should expect that the world's going to hate us and not honor us for following the one who is the king of the universe. Mm.
It was the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, my friends. Take 2017, subtract 1517, and you get 500 years.
I thought you were going to say you get my birthday.
No, you get 500 years since Martin Luther put those 95 theses on that Wittenberg church door, and the Swansons took opportunity to visit the door in early October of this year.
Did you bring back a splinter of the door?
It's a different door.
Is it?
It's a little bit like the story of the guy who bought an axe at a garage sale, and somebody told him it was the axe that George Washington used to chop down the cherry tree.
Yeah.
But he said, of course, it's had three new handles and two new heads since
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
So, well, it was the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We're thankful to the Lord that he brought that Reformation that had so much impact upon the entire world, including the missionary movement of the 1800s and 1900s.
So you didn't go to worship at the door. You worshiped the true door to life.
We
and
did.
That is Jesus
we
Christ.
We did. We actually met some friends there, the Mills,
yeah.
and we gathered around a circle and thanked the Lord and yeah. gave him praise for the work of Martin Luther and the other reformers some 500 years ago. The most important religious liberty case also in the history of this country presented itself this year to the Supreme Court of the United States, and that was the Denver Baker case, in which Denver Christian Baker refused to do business with homosexuals and participate in the celebration of a homosexual wedding.
Yeah, he didn't refuse to do business. He refused to participate in an event that was a violation of his conscience. And that's
yes.
a different thing.
That's right.
And it is a matter of liberty. This case will determine not just the liberty of this baker, but the liberty of every person in the United States. And it rests in the hands, in the pen of one justice in a black robe. Justice Kennedy is the swing vote. And I find that reprehensible that this case even got as far as it did, because it should have been handled by the state legislature. Mm. It is instead being kicked into the court where it should not be decided. It should be decided by the state legislature.
Well, let's wrap up the 2017 year in review this way, my friends. This was the year that God presented a window of opportunity to repent for the United States of America. God has been merciful to America in providing this opportunity, but the grassroots of the nation has proven itself to be even worse than it was in 2016 and 2015 and 2014. Pop culture did just the opposite. Pop culture continued to rebel against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in 2017. And the pastors of this nation apparently do not have quite the courage of the president of the United States. The pastors are not speaking the truth clearly and boldly. I'm talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of pastors across America grabbing access to the radio airwaves and calling the nation to repentance. It's not happening in the churches. It's not happening on the radio airwaves as it should. When a few leaders call the nation to repentance, they're actually hushed up by all the other leaders. That has been the modus operandi for the last 5 to 6 years of this nation's history. And this was the year that the Reformed celebrated the last Reformation 500 years ago. But alas, there is not much interest in another Reformation, as far as we can tell. The U.S. Senate is worse than ever before. They won't cut Planned Parenthood funding. They won't cut the budget. They'll continue their debt spending, and they will continue their support of abortion and homosexuality as well. Friends, this is the state of the nation, the grassroots, the warp and woof of the nation. The citizenry are not turning towards God. There isn't the humility. There isn't the word repent used in the common language today. Friends, we are closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing we can say about the day in which we live, and it is even more essential that repentance be preached now, more than ever before. Now is the time to repent. Jesus said, "Repent or ye will all likewise perish." He sent us out to preach the message of repentance and remission of sins in Luke 24. And yet, that message of the gospel is not being preached across America today. And for that reason, we are seeing the retrograde of the American faith as England, Scotland, and other nations in Europe have experienced it. Well, my friends, this is the year to call the remnant, at least the remnant, at least the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands that still believe in God, to repentance, to fear God, repent of their sins, and to change their ways in material areas of culture, education, and politics. If we don't live out our faith day to day, if we're not living out a message of repentance and aligning ourselves more and more to the laws of God, then friends, we are still living in our sins. This is the year that Generations rolled out a Christian curriculum with a biblical worldview for students, and we're calling for a radical reformation in the area of education and worldview for our children. We're calling tens of thousands of Christian families to get their kids out of those schools that will not teach the beginning of wisdom as the fear of God, the worship of God, the centrality of Christ in the history classroom and the science classroom. Get them out of those schools and give them a distinctively Christian curriculum where they are immersed in God's word every day on every page of their curriculum. Check out our Christian curriculum at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back next year to more of the Generations radio broadcast, as the Lord wills.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Friday, December 29th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Communist Party of China officially banned Sunday schools in the country's Wenzhou district back in August, as provinces around the country are prohibiting children from attending faith-based activities. In response, Christian parents in Wenzhou have continued to teach their children about Jesus and the Bible. One of the parents, surnamed Chen, told Reuters, quote, "Faith comes first, grades come second," end quote, noting that the Chinese state education is morally and spiritually deficient. Many are teaching their children the Christian faith in private homes or other locations. Wenzhou, known as China's Jerusalem for its large Christian population, began as a small Christian community through the work of British missionary George Stott with Hudson Taylor's Inland China Mission back in the 19th century. Now, the community has grown to over 1 million believers. Chen said, quote, "There will definitely be more Christian believers in the next generation. The ability for the Christian faith to be inherited and passed on is ever growing," end quote. Psalm 103, 17 through 18 says, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." Release International put out their 2018 Persecution Trend Report in their 50th year of campaigning for persecuted Christians internationally, highlighting China, Nigeria, Africa, and India as, quote, "countries of concern," end quote. New regulations in China go into effect next February, tightening the government's control over churches and places of worship. In its continued crackdown on Christianity, Christmas celebrations in China were suppressed or banned. Nigerian African Christians have experienced sustained attacks from Muslim Fulani herdsmen for over a year, leading to hundreds of deaths. In India, Hindu extremists have increased violence against Christians and called on the government to shut down churches. The report also covers abuses against Christians in North Korea, Vietnam, Iran, and Egypt. Please pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in these countries this coming year. Images released by the U.S. Department of Treasury appear to show vessels from China and North Korea illegally trading oil in the West Sea after trade sanctions were imposed by the United Nations on North Korea, according to a South Korean newspaper. China has denied the oil sales, and President Trump responded on Twitter yesterday saying, quote, "Very disappointed that China is allowing oil to go into North Korea. There will never be a friendly solution to the North Korea problem if this continues to happen, end quote. Pro-abortion group Amnesty International Ireland received over $160,000 from the Open Society Foundations, funded by American globalist billionaire George Soros. Ireland's Standards and Public Office Commission found the donation in violation of the 1997 Electoral Act, which guards against wealthy foreign donations to sway their own national public policy. The commission ordered Amnesty to return the money intended to fund a campaign to repeal Ireland's ban on the murder of the unborn. Psalm 9:15 says, "The nations have sunk down in the pit where they made, in the net where they hid. Their own foot is caught." On Thursday, Alabama election officials certified that pro-abortion Democrat Doug Jones is the official winner of the December 12th special election for the U.S. Senate between Jones and Republican Judge Roy Moore. A circuit court denied a lawsuit filed by Moore late on Wednesday to delay the certification based on voter irregularities and possible voter fraud. In the final count, Jones received 21,924 more votes than Moore out of about 1.3 million votes. Yesterday, an Oregon appellate court upheld State Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian's $135,000 penalty on Christian bakery owners Aaron and Melissa Klein for not providing a cake for two women who wanted to get married to each other. The Oregon judges found that Aaron Klein's quotation of biblical language that homosexuality is, quote, an abomination, end quote, to be a cause of, quote, emotional distress, end quote, worth the damages award. Proverbs 17:15 declares, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." And finally, a Utah sheriff's officer was hailed as a hero after diving into a frozen pond to rescue an 8-year-old boy named Jason, who fell through the ice after running after his dog on Christmas Day. Sheriff Sergeant Aaron Thompson broke through the ice with his hands and dove down to find the boy who had been submerged for an estimated 30 minutes. Listen to how Thompson described the rescue on CNN.
"It was difficult. The conditions were extreme. Towards the end of the time in water, I knew that I was starting to struggle, and I knew I didn't have much time left. It was a last-second save."
Remarkably, after being hospitalized, Jason is awake and doing well. Praise God. As you know, the Worldview and Generations Ministries are committed to bringing a biblical worldview back to the news, to family life, and to the education of our children. We are grateful for your trust in the work we do. As the Lord has blessed you this year, please consider blessing this ministry with a much-needed year-end donation right now as we continue to declare Jesus as Lord over all. Go to theworldview.com/give. That's theworldview.com/give. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes. On this Friday, December 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2017, subscribe by iTunes or email to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.